Now, you know what else is great? If you're looking for a book and you find exactly what you're looking for. So maybe you have a holiday coming up this year. Maybe you're about to go on holidays right now and you're not sure what book to pack. Or maybe you're looking for a read just to get you through the autumn winter months. And you know what? I have the answer. Guilty by Definition. It's the debut novel from lexicographer Susie Dent. She's the star, of course, of Countdown's Dictionary Corner. We heard from her a few moments ago, chatting with one of our whodunit quizzers, Lorraine. Susie, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
Oh, it's a pleasure. And I have to say, hearing Lorraine has brought a real smile to my face. Aww. Because Countdown is it's so much about the people and also about the sort of generations of families that have played it. You know, we have so many contestants who have played it with their parents or their grandparents. Mm-hmm. And it just, I love that continuity.
And as well, the fact that, you know, when you're meeting people that genuinely love the show and genuinely love being a part of it, sure, that has to be such an energy boost for you after all this time.
Yeah, no, it really is. I have been doing it for so many mm-hmm. years now, but I still feel the adrenaline every time the clock starts because it's a new challenge, yeah. It's a new set of letters. But yeah, I love the fact that Countdown chooses its contestants because they do love the game and they've played it for years and they're good at it, not because they're particularly good on telly or, you mm-hmm. know, for anything else other than that sheer joy for the game, which is brilliant.
Absolutely. Now, you're here to talk about Guilty by Definition, your first novel. Huge congratulations. Yes.
Thank you. I just have a big lump in my throat when you said that. It's quite nerve-wracking.
That was my first question, is how does it feel to be talking about your book?
Yes, I remember the first time I talked about my novel, I almost choked because that seemed a bit odd. And then I did an event the other night where I was asked to read a bit from the book, and it was the first time I've ever read it out loud. Mm-hmm. It was almost like it was the first time I was sharing it with anyone. I got quite emotional, actually. It was strange. So it feels wonderful, but the adjective I always use is betwittering. It's sort of anxious excitement, I think, encompasses it all. But you know what? I feel like I wrote this as much for myself as for anybody else. I've had a screenplay that I've been just scribbling down, well, for years and years. I will never see the light of day. It's always been this kind of private little mm-hmm. oasis that I return to sometimes. And there is pleasure, I think, in just writing something, whether or not you're going to share it with someone else. That doesn't mean I don't care how people see it, but it was also that kind of private moment for me.
Amazing. Like, what made you decide to go down that murder mystery route?
Honest answer is a little bit like my appearances on Countdown, actually, is that I was persuaded to do it. So it was not something that I genuinely had thought of. As I say, I'd been writing a little bit of fiction myself, but mm-hmm. almost everything I've done, almost 20 books now, have all been nonfiction. And I didn't need anything else because there's enough magic in dictionaries on their own. And then my wonderful editor at Bonnier Publishing came to me and said, you know, you live in Oxford, which is where wonderful writers like Dorothy L. Sayers, for example, wrote. And I was at the same college as her and she wrote about it. And she just said, have you ever thought about writing a slightly old fashioned murder mystery? And I thought, I was really chuffed and flattered, but I immediately said, no, thank you. It's not really for me, which is exactly what I did with Countdown. I turned it down three times. And then I went away and thought about it. I thought about the screenplay and I thought about the parallels between word detectives, which are essentially what lexicographers, and we call ourselves etymologists, that's what we are. We're mm-hmm. kind of digging for evidence, we're looking for clues, we're following footsteps, yeah. we're looking at records, and that, so the parallel between that and also crime detection suddenly seemed really attractive. So yeah. I thought, you know what, I'm getting on a bit, will I ever have this chance again? And the answer was probably no, so I went for it.
I love that. I love how the cryptic messages, the puzzles, the riddles, you just effortlessly weaved it into the story. Like, tell people without giving too much away, give a high level plot for people.
Okay, so a writer friend of mine said to me, write about what you know. And that's exactly what I did. So it involves a group of lexicographers who receive a series of anonymous letters, which are a little bit clunky, quite strange, and they become a little bit more threatening as they go on. And essentially, as you say, they contain these puzzles that the team have to unlock. And it becomes very clear, and I can say this because it's very early on, that they are probably hinting at what happened to the sister of Martha, who is the main protagonist, and she's been missing for a very long time, and it's maybe hinting at where she might be.
I have to say, I loved the fact that there is not just the murder mystery element to it. There is kind of the family drama, you know, dealing with being the shadow sibling, you know, even living with ghosts of unresolved past. Many people can identify with that, and guilt, and, you know, truth avoiding. It's, you know, there's a lot in there, even a unique look at sisterhood. So when you were writing this, you know, where did you get the inspiration from? Like, how did it unfold in your mind?
Well, it was really tempting to make Martha particularly very autobiographical. And we do share a lot of characteristics, I have to say. So we both love German. She studied in Berlin. She lives in her head, which is me. She loves words. I mean, there were lots and lots of parallels. But I then obviously wanted to step outside that because it was too exposing otherwise. And I love the idea of sisterhood. So there's a sisterhood, not just in Charlie and Martha, who are real siblings, but also in the team. There are two other women in the team, Safi and also Alex, and their bond is actually, that really interested me as well, because they're at very different times in their lives, but they are connected through words, but also so much more. And the kind of complexity of the relationship, Martha has quite a difficult one with her father, for example, which is intensely loving, but also really difficult. And I think at the beginning, when I first started writing, I wanted to make everybody really lovely and quite, you know, quite nice. And my editor very wisely said, we need to see flaws and human fallibility. And I'm always really intrigued by the idea of, you know, when we look back and how we tend to sanitize things, and particularly when we don't have something anymore, of course, we idealize it and it was all wonderful. And I wanted to bring a little bit of truth into that, but also all the childhood memories that we keep locked within us and things. So there were lots of things that I wanted to explore. And as I say, some of them I have lived through, but by no means all. There were other things that just, I had this romantic notion that a lot of writers seem to enjoy, which is that the characters will unfold if you let them, and they just run away with the with the story, and you're just chasing after. It was slightly different with a mystery novel, because there are so many subplots and threats that you need to tie together at the end. So plotting was one of the most challenging things about this book, I have to say. It's I mean, I knew that going from nonfiction to fiction was not going to be a simple transition, but that was really hard. And in the end, I had to almost storyboard different chapters so that I knew I hadn't left anything unresolved.
Like, I love that, you know, you're definitely leaving the reader, aside with a brilliant plot and story, you're leaving them with a broader vocabulary as well. Like, I kind of find it's nearly like some sort of linguistic journey, because, you know, obviously your love of words and etymology is really evident throughout the novel. Like, and even at the start of every, you know, every chapter, you have that word, that antiquated word, and you give the definition of it so people can start using it in sentences. I loved that.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. No, it was, I mean, I don't know. I may have overdone it in parts. It's just that was, in some ways, that was my comfort zone, because I knew about that. So, but it also is often how lexicographers work. You know, they do talk to each other about all these words, these new words. They have fun with them. And with those chapter headings, I just wanted to give a little bit of a signpost as to what was to come without being too obvious.
Well, Susie, you know this music, and we're going to get to it now because we've just about got out of time. So I am so delighted to have had you on the show. Susie Dent, Guilty by Definition, your debut novel. Congratulations. And people can pick it up in all good bookstores, of course.